Welcome, friends. This is the second hour of Spingola Speaks. This is Deanna Spingola. My guest today is Carolyn Yeager, the author of Auschwitz, The Underground Tour, and the host of her own radio program, The Heretics Hour. Her website is carolynyeager.com. And we are talking about the purported Bush-Nazi connection. And there were certain people in this country who did work for, such as the Union Bank, who did have some financial connections with Germany. So, mm-hmm. Carolyn, mm-hmm. talk to us yes. about that.
Well, thank you. You're giving me just the right cues, Deanna. I don't know. We must be tuned in very well, because I did want to bring up next, because I don't want to miss out on this point, that this Bush-Nazi connection really rests on the repeated but incorrect statement that Fritz Thyssen, who was a huge industrialist at the time, he had inherited from his father, and they were coal and steel magnates, you could call them that, but they had the great coal and steel industries in Germany. And they say that he was the financial architect of the Third Reich. See, now this is an error, but it's repeated over and over again, this idea of financial architect of the Third Reich. Now, as I said, Thyssen took over from when his father died in 1926. He became head of the company. He had a younger brother, but you know, as the older brother, he was the. That's generally the way it always went. And in 1928, he formed the United Steelworks in Germany, which was the largest company in Germany at the time, and it controlled more than 75% of Germany's iron ore reserves, and it employed 200,000 people. At the same time, he played a prominent role in German commercial life as head of the German Iron and Steel Industry Association and the Reich Association of German Industry, and he was a board member of the Reichsbank. This was during the interwar period when the Weimar Republic was in control, and the Social Democrats, which were somewhat to the left, but Thyssen and they were very much in league with the other democracies around the world. And Thyssen, though, was a nationalist, and he was a member of the German National People's Party, which was another party similar to the NSDAP, the German National Socialist Workers' Party, which was Hitler's party. And he was a member of that until 1932, and he didn't join the Nazi Party until 1933, when Hitler became chancellor. But he knew the people in Hitler's party, and he had donated to it. And because he had a lot of money, he donated a large sums a few times. But that doesn't mean that he was the backbone, or that, you know, he funded the whole thing. Just like there's no proof at all that the Jewish bankers of various names and sorts were the funders of the National Socialist Party. Actually, the backbone of the funding was the people, small donations from the people, but there were large donations. And so this man, he wrote, then there's this thing about his book, which I can talk about. Do you want me to go ahead with this?
Yeah, we have about 10 seconds before we go into the break. And yes, this is very interesting. Basically, when the Germans were, okay, we'll be back after a short break.
Okay.
When I had a heart attack at 42, I was not sure what the future held. But a year later, the doctors could find nothing wrong with me and took me off all my medication. What did I do? I took a herbal mixture of garlic, cayenne, and a few other herbs mixed in liquid form. I now call this Extendovite. I would have never believed that a few simple herbs could actually change my life like they did. Now it's your turn to see what the powers of garlic and cayenne can do for you. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. If you have an elderly loved one, please listen. Whether it's fire danger, a serious fall, or other type of home emergency, Life Alert is there for you. The company with the slogan, Help, I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up, protects 60,000 members.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone.
When you have a heart attack like I did and there's no one there, Life Alert was there for me.
Having a secure feeling through Life Alert is ideal.
My independence is possible because of it.
Listen to former U.S. Surgeon General Dr. C. Everett Koop.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone. That's why I wear one.
With Life Alert protection, elderly people can often postpone going to a nursing home for several years. For a free brochure about Life Alert service, call now 1-800-410-0739. 1-800-410-0739. Call Life Alert now for your free brochure, 1-800-410-0739.
Welcome back, friends. My guest today is Carolyn Yeager, and her website is carolynyeager.com. We do have a couple callers on the line. We do take calls,
I'd like to say, I'd like to add one more thing.
Before you finish,
if you don't mind.
Yeah.
This is important. So I was talking about how this whole connection rests on this idea that Tessin was a financial architect of the Third Reich, and also on some banking connections. Now, you mentioned the Union Banking Corporation, which was part of the Harriman banking empire, and that's where Prescott Bush was a managing director of that bank. And then there's a bank in Holland, the Voorhandel in Schiefert in Rotterdam, that was founded in 1916 by August Tessin, which was Fritz Tessin's father.
Mm-hmm.
And then supposedly, I have seen several places that the Tessins sold out their interest in that bank to the Harriman Banking Corporation, or you know, whatever. They had so many different companies and holding companies and so on, but it's said that this bank continued to be owned by Fritz Tessin and the Tessin family. Well, none of this seems to be proved. It's very cloudy, and there are not good arguments one way or the other. But this is what is charged, that somehow, that because Tessin Tessin family money and company money was in this bank, that this Dutch bank handled the money, and that the Union Banking Corporation of Harriman, run by Prescott Bush, was involved with them, that this somehow puts them all involved with everything the Nazis did. And, you know, you know, everything that took place in Germany, that people are, say, is criminal was somehow, they were involved in it. Of course, they have some other connections with, Asian steel and coal companies in Poland and near Auschwitz, which also gets it involved. But these connections are what makes up this Bush Nazi connection, and they're not what they are made out to be.
That's true. You know, they had heavy reparations after they were imposed at Versailles, and the bankers, the international bankers, wanted to go in and have Hitler accept massive loans. Now, he was totally against the Dawes plan. He was against the Young plan, which the U.S. government provided. And they tried to sell him on those things. He said, absolutely not. He said he would not accept loans from the international bankers, that they would do it on their own, that they would raise their country up by their bootstraps. And then there was a fellow by the name of Feder, F-E-D-E-R, mm-hmm. who came in and designed a financial plan where basically they developed trading partners with their neighbors. And so basically what he did was he kicked the international bankers out of the country. And that is why Bernard Baruch said, we are going to lick that fellow Hitler, because if the other countries in Europe discovered that they could live without the loans, the high interest loans from the international bankers, and that they could also do what Germany was doing, the international bankers would have failed in their schemes.
Yes. Yes. And they use a lot of things like this Loftus, uses in his books. He's got, a very important, part of his information comes from someone that is only called a former member of Dutch intelligence who remains unnamed to this day, and there are no documents from this man, but supposedly, now this is the kind of stories they come up with and people fall for. He gave this former member of Dutch intelligence gave detailed inside information about this Rotterdam bank that I was just talking about to a retired U.S. intelligence agent, William Gowan. Now, William Gowan was at that time acting on his own initiative. He was retired. He was just, you know, he was just a free agent. And this William Gowan says that this statement that he wrote himself, that was dictated, you know, from information given to him by this unnamed Dutch intelligence agent.
Sure.
And then he says that this agent read over what he had written and corrected it. But it's not, you know, there's no document that shows that there are any corrections made or anything initial by this person, or he doesn't have a name. And now this is the story that he says we're supposed to accept, which is that, you know, all these connections with this Dutch bank to the Harrimans and the Bushes and Tissen. And the fact is, even if there were these connections, it doesn't connect it to the National Socialist Government in Germany.
Exactly.
In the way that they make out that, you know, he was the architect and he was so close and, you know, he was in on everything. That's not the case at all.
No. And also it takes the flashlight, takes the light off of the real culprits. It puts the blame on Bush and all of his cronies. And that's what you see. You see them as being in charge of 9/11, and it takes the Israeli state out of the picture.
Another very important part of this is that at this time that this was coming out, there was in the 90s, it was at the time that that George Bush was running for a re-election for his second term, and I was certainly not for him. So I would have probably gone along with anything that they came out with against his family. But they came out with this at this time, and at the same time, there was a Holocaust lawsuit going on in Germany by Kurt Goldstein, 87 years old, and Peter Gingold, 85 years old, which is saying that they were slave laborers in Auschwitz, and they were bringing this suit against
Bush. Who was bringing Bush.
It against Bush, but also, I've gotten myself lost here, but also the United States government and the Bush family, yes. Mm-hmm. So they thought they, for $40 billion, you know, and they were trying to get not only a lot of good publicity for the Holocaust out of this, but they were trying to get a lot of new money. And if they would have succeeded in that suit, then a government would have been held accountable beyond the German government. And then they'd also already gotten the Swiss government involved, and now they were going to go after the United States government, and you know, where there are lots of money. And but this lawsuit was eventually thrown out for lack of grounds.
Sure.
But you know, this is the kind of thing that's going on behind the scenes.
Sure. Why don't we take a call? Let's take Rick in Arizona.
Okay, can you ladies hear me?
Sure.
You know, yeah, she's absolutely right. I think wasn't the bank a subsidiary of Brown Brothers Harriman to begin with?
Well, Harriman became Brown Brothers Harriman. They joined with the British Brown Brothers and became Brown Brothers Harriman. Let's see. I got so much material here, but at some date before World War II that took place, sometime probably in the 20s.
Rick, did you have another question?
Where'd he go?
I don't know. Rick, are you gone? Okay, let's take John in Indiana.
Me?
Oh, Rick, are you there?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on, but as far as you made a, I think I've studied that era pretty good. The way I see what happened, as far as Auschwitz and everything goes, I think the Jews played the Germans like a fiddle all the way from the beginning to the end of the war. When they put the Jews in the camps, they were basically taken out of the theater of war. They weren't in harm's way. So when they bombed Dresden and Hamburg, they didn't have that problem. They just used their sanitation protocols against them to try to claim it as a mass extermination.
Sure. I've got a gentleman coming on tomorrow that's going to talk about that.
I mean, I see them being just taken for a ride from the beginning. And Max Warburg, believe it or not, he spent the war right there in Germany. Now, I'm not saying that Hitler was in with the Jews, but I'm saying that the Jewish bankers had a lot to do with what happened as far as maybe policy.
I don't think
Germany.
So.
I have to take some exception to that, Rick, and I would like you to listen to this carefully, that Warburg was head of a big bank. Hitler was not trying to his country was in precarious financial condition, and he needed bank funding, and he was in the beginning working with banks. Everybody has to. You especially a nation. You cannot fund when you're dead broke. You cannot get going again without getting loans from banks. But he had his plan for how to, you know, transform that later on. But Max Warburg was head of the largest, maybe it was the largest bank in Germany. And you know, Max Warburg, even though he was a Jew, he was happy in Germany. He thought of himself as a German, and he wasn't subversive. So he retained his position for quite a while. But in 1938, they did get him out of that bank and turn the bank over to Gentiles.
Okay, we're going to a break, and we'll be back after a word from our sponsors.
Hey, Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The Total Transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program, use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey kit includes a 1-quart high-quality stainless steel system complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug-out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. The online store, it's a featured product.
Welcome back. My guest today is Carolyn Yeager. Her website is carolynyeager.com. You know, it is kind of confusing because, I have friends, acquaintances who absolutely are assured that the government is controlled by Israel. And they're right. And yet they are some of the same people who say, oh, yes, yes, that Bush really did finance Hitler and, you know, it's got some, and they have an influence in our country today. You cannot hold those two thoughts in your mind at the same time. One has to cancel out the other. You can't have it both ways, people.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. They do cancel each other out. When we were talking about fascism, communism, and all of that, these ideas that they're pushing, they are. And isn't that a sign of discognizance?
Right.
What's that called? When you try to get people to have two ideas that don't match up and hold
right.
it together.
Right.
Yeah, and
right.
that's how they create insanity and national craziness in people, and people don't know where to go and they can't think anymore.
Sure, it's confusion, and these people are not idiots who write these books. They're very persuasive. They're agents.
Oh yes. Yeah. They're good writers.
They're good
writers in the sense they're not deep writers, they're not profound writers, but they're entertaining writers, and
sure.
they really know how to keep people interested in
and persuaded.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a question from John in Indiana. John?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, welcome.
Oh, excellent. Well, how are you guys doing? I love the information. It's wonderful.
Thank you.
Well, I was going to comment on something, but then I just heard a statement that I'm kind of perplexed with. You said you can't hold those two thoughts simultaneously because they cancel each other out.
Mm-hmm.
That the state of Israel influences the U.S. government, and to hold the idea that Prescott Bush and the Bush family may or may not have financed the war or Hitler.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I suppose if you have a definitive set of ideas as to what is and is not, then you can make a statement like that. But when you talk about isms, whether it be fascism, nationalism, or communism, these are created ideas that come from people with influence and mainly wealth to control individuals. So regardless of whether you believe Prescott Bush and that family supported Hitler or not, there was money made in the process, and the banking families that existed in Germany and then branched out to Europe who were of German-Jewish background, and those that became influential later on, do work together to manipulate markets and create governments. So I think it's very, very feasible to hold those two ideas simultaneously without being delusional or having any cognitive, you know, dissidism, you know, in your thought process. It seems very easy to accept those ideas.
Well, that's
would
because
you like to comment on
as
that?
You, yeah, that's because, as you said, you know, we've got an agenda going on, and so you know, a lot of misinformation is put out there, and if people buy into all of that, then they can think that all matches up. But if you're thinking clearly, it's not going to match up. Because if you think that the Bush family, like George Bush, was supportive of Israel, and then but before that the family was supportive of Hitler, then you have to take that thing that maybe you go along with, that Hitler was really a Zionist, and Hitler was working with the Jews and the Jewish bankers and so on, which I don't hold. I don't think Deanna does either. And that also goes to that previous caller who said that he thought, well, maybe the Jews were just put into the concentration camps to protect them. Well, I don't think so. That was not the reason for it. That again would have to be that somebody was in control there who was, that's the overwhelming Jewish control conspiracy thing. Is it gets to be too big, and that nobody can function outside or apart from that since the 1700s or 1800s or so.
Well, I can understand where you're coming from, and I still don't seem to agree fully with you, but like I said, I enjoy the information, and it's well put together. I guess my comment in leaving this conversation would be, regardless of those things, you know, people are still subject to using a money system of some sort, and that money system is influenced and controlled by families and groupings of people that have existed for hundreds of years. And we, whether there's misinformation or not, are not those individuals, and we'll never meet those people and know what their agenda is. So it could all be a dog and pony show.
Well, I think, you know, let me just say, John, I think that what the National Socialist Government showed was that they could come up with their own money system.
Right.
And they could make it work unless they were, and they had to go to war. The money folks had to go to war and totally decimate that nation in order to destroy that. But, you know, we've had those efforts here in the United States, too, which I'm sure Deanna knows more about than I do.
Okay, we are going to break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With the Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Attention RBN listeners, the Freeze-Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees, but we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze Dry Guy.
Welcome back, friends. My guest today is Carolyn Yeager. Her website is carolynyeager.com. And what we're trying to think of is a cognitive dissonance.
Yes.
Right. Okay, John dropped. Let's take another call. And then I want you to address another theory about Hitler being a Rothschild. But let's take Daryl.
Okay, right before that, I just want to let people know that if they want to see the documents that are supposedly behind all this that John Buchanan is talking about, the fellow I mentioned before, publisher of the New Hampshire Gazette, they are online, and if you probably just Google them, but he's put them online at www.scribd.com place. And I'll just say real briefly that they don't amount to much of anything.
Right.
I went through all of them. I'm telling you, I spent a lot of time. I thought I'd better do it. And they just say the obvious things that we've already talked about, and they don't give this smoking gun that they are suggesting to us in these books that it
certainly
exists.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of amazing. There are people who want to claim that that all of our presidents have been Jewish.
Yes.
Or that Hitler was a Rothschild. The U.S. government wouldn't have bombed Germany into smithereens. The Jewish bankers would not have gone after him. If he were, in fact, a Rothschild, he would have done the Rothschild agenda. And to say that, oh, all of our presidents have been Jewish, okay, but what if they were? It doesn't really matter, because they have supported the Israeli agenda. And you don't have to be Jewish to do that. And it's just not grounded. It's not documented. There's been no proof. I mean, I've had people attempt to tell me that, but they provide absolutely no proof. Okay, let's take Daryl real quick in Iowa.
Where the cognitive dissonance comes in is with the fact that it's perfectly politically correct and acceptable to bash Nazism. It's perfectly okay to bash the German people. But as I'm sure Carolyn knows, in the Soviet Union, it was perfectly okay under communism to say, to categorize the Russian people in the worst, most vile of terms, but any comments deemed anti-Semitic were punishable by death. And this is why we have today these people who say, oh, you can't blame any sort of Jewish kosher noster for what's going on, because these people aren't really Jews, they're really Khazars, or they're Ashkenazis, or blah, blah, blah. And then you have the other argument that, they're not, it's not really Judaism, it's Zionism. That's the other one. So then you get back to, well, Zionism is really Nazism, therefore that's the problem. It's not the, and so this is the sort of circular reasoning. There's always an excuse. The fact of the matter is that today, all of the main players on Wall Street, all of the media moguls are Jews. The Federal Reserve bankers have been Jews since 1913. All of them are Jews. Barry Obama just appointed two new Fed governors, both of them Jews. And so, if you want to call them Ashkenazis or whatever, it takes the eye off of the problem. And the fact is that these people do run the country. I mean, what name you want to, if you want to say they're Philistines or whatever, the fact is that they do have taken total control of the country. And I just find that there are, and people knew that, you know, in Europe centuries ago, and they tried to get these people out of their business, restrict them to living in other areas where they wouldn't ruin the people. But in the United States today, everyone is so afraid of being called an anti-Semite, quote-unquote, that they'll go to whatever lengths they can fathom up to avoid that.
Well, the media, as Deanna has already explained very well, is busy putting out these stories, and also the alternative, so much of the alternative media and the alternative, whatever you call them, spokespeople, are doing it. So this has been the overriding influence on most people, and what we need are people like you to speak up and say, call things what they are. And as we do this more and more, we will change the way other people will say, well, I guess it's all right to talk this way. You know, they really do, because if they hear people talking the way you were just talking, other people will gain courage and say, well, you know, he's talking that way, and I heard somebody else talk that way, so maybe I'll start talking that way. And we just need to start changing what we hear in the whole, both cyberspace and in the general media, the whole atmosphere of our world.
I mean, people are just scared to death of that anti-Semitism tag. You know, it's just it's like if people, when people tried to say, you know, the Sicilian Mafia was so obvious, you would be charged with racism if you were to point it out. I mean, it was so clear and so obvious that there was such a thing, but yet if you were to point it out, you get the racism.
But we've never been accused of racism except when it comes to that one race,
the Jews. That's correct. Yeah. And And what's even more shocking is the parallel. The Sicilian Mafia, the Cosa Nostra, never had 1/1000th the power that the Jewish Mafia has today.
I mean, they were running the Sicilian Mafia.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And I mean, and it's perfectly okay to bash now the Sicilian Mafia. But the fact is, the Sicilian Mafia never had controlled the media or Wall Street. I mean, you didn't have Sicilian Mafia guys leading chairmanships of congressional committees.
Right.
But today, all of the most powerful players in all of the arenas are Jews. And people are just oblivious to it. And if you try to point it, there's always an excuse. Well, they're not really Jews.
Yeah,
It just goes on.
It's the elephant in the living room. And it's, like you say, it's just all there, but they don't want you to talk about it. But, you know, people are starting to talk about it.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks, Daryl. Let's take David real quick in Wisconsin.
Thank you. I have a different opinion, and it's that it's the occultists, and there is a large amount of Jewish involvement in the occult, and there is a large amount of Gentile involvement in the occult, and it's the occultists that are leading this effort over the cliff, so to speak. But I wanted to bring to your attention a compliment, first of all, that you mentioned Mr. Fetter. That was Gottfried Fetter, and that was
the
economist that Adolf Hitler read, and his policy, teaching was to repudiate the debt money system, which is a healthy and wholesome thing, and that's why Adolf Hitler had to be crushed.
Right.
But one individual that was very instrumental early on in the National Socialist government under Adolf Hitler was Hjalmar Schacht, and he was the Reich Minister of Economics, and he was very significant early on, but he was removed when he began to protest the discrimination against Jews. So that individual is significant, but there's one person that never gets mentioned in terms of huge power and success, and that would be the owner of the largest amount of property and owner and controller of the largest amount of property in the world, and she has Jewish blood and Gentile blood, and that's Elizabeth Windsor, and there's a book titled Who Owns the World that describes in detail that she owns and or controls 6,600 million acres of land. And I just think that that should be entered into any conversation, because in 2007, she patented a new company. It's called the Worshipful Company of International Bankers. So those Jewish bankers are making a phenomenal amount of money, but they're doing it under the power and authority of the British Queen. That's
and,
a significant
and
thing.
The U.S. government.
Pardon?
And the U.S. government.
Well, the U.S. government is like the golem. It's like the hapless dog that gets to get kicked in the stomach every time it tries to do anything in one direction or the other.
I know there's a lot of disagreement there, but
I'm really interested in this idea that Queen Elizabeth is part Jewish. And others have said so, but I cannot find any proof of that. What are you going by besides just hearsay?
All right. If you go to researching Edward VII, you will find that, and in the research records of men like Hjalmar Schacht and Jacob Schiff, if you go into their private correspondences, you will discover that during the period of time that Edward VII acceded to the throne, and he was a member of several German clans, Saxe, Coburg, and Gotha, and mm-hmm. and in the person of Ernest Cassel, Cassel, that mm-hmm. is the bloodline connection between those German royals and Jews.
Well, Ernest Cassel Ernest Castle was the banker to the throne. He was not...
That's correct.
Okay. He was not...
he was family.
I've never found that.
Yeah, well, if you research it, and incidentally, I will email you some material for you that will bear that out as fact.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, let's quickly take Johnny in Illinois.
Yeah, how you doing? Yeah, if you want a little proof about the Queen, you can just take a look at the British pound. Her picture's on it. She looks very Jewish. But here's what I wanted to talk about.
That's hardly proof.
I read that when Hitler took over, they had that inflation, and he was printing his own money, and he ignored the bankers.
Right.
And he just printed his own money, and I think he put 7 million people back to work. And,
yeah.
Did he continue to do that throughout till the end of the war? Did he continue to do that without paying interest? Do you know?
No. He was not able to, but he did. A lot of wonderful things happened in Germany during that period of time. He did put at least 6 million people back to work. They built the Autobahn. They did a lot of construction. Meanwhile, back here in the U.S., and they both came, Roosevelt came in, March 4th, or no, March, yeah, it was March 4th, and Hitler came in January 1st of 1933, and Roosevelt basically didn't do anything. I mean, there was several million people out of work, and there was still several million people out of work years later.
Well, I read that after... Hitler started printing his own money, that the Jews declared war on Germany and they boycotted German goods.
They did that in April of 1933.
And then he had the transfer agreement set up where he said, okay.
No, he didn't.
He didn't?
He didn't have it set up.
Well, I saw that on the 5 o'clock news here in Chicago.
Then it must be true.
He had cut a deal with some of these rich Jews that they could take their assets and they could leave and go to Palestine if they would drop the boycott, and they did on that deal.
Well, he did allow people to leave, was happy to get rid of them. But whether he's the one that set up the transfer agreement is another thing.
They have a whole story on that on Channel 5 News here in Chicago, and they put that out there. But I want to say one thing. You know, I'm looking on the internet, I've had a computer, and I'm getting little different stories all the time. I'm not actually getting the real history. What it seems, I'm getting a version of the history of what really happened, and a lot of things are left out. And I was going to ask you, is there any source where you can really get the actual truth?
Yeah, if you
that it
read
seems like
one of my upcoming books.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I hate to be a self-promoter, but...
Well, you have to be. And let me say, now, Hjalmar Schacht, he was Hitler's first banker, and Hitler liked him because he was a German, a loyal German, too. He was working sincerely with the National Socialists, but he was also... he knew his way around the World International Banking Establishment, and so he was very helpful to Adolf Hitler, and he was not totally cut off from the banking establishment. He was trying to work with other nations and work with things, and he wasn't trying to be a big maverick, except in the way that he went about his program for Germany. And then when he let Schacht go, it was because Schacht was not wanting to go along fully after a while to take the National Socialist program all the way.
Right.
When did they start printing their own money? Do you know? When did they go? How did they do that? What did they do?
Well, first of all, they backed with production.
Right. I understand that.
It was early on. Yeah. I don't have the exact date.
I think that Schacht came up with that plan, or he helped. Hitler
was not a financier,
so yeah, he showed the way to do it, and it was Hitler's idea. But
it was Vetter's,
the party's idea. Yeah,
but
Schacht worked with that, And he was very enthusiastic about it, and he was very talented, this Schacht. And he
now,
was an excellent
when Hitler
banker.
Took over, he put the communists and Jews in these concentration camps just for labor. Am I correct? And then he wanted
yes.
to expand
well,
the territory?
Enemies. He put his enemies, you know, enemies yeah. of the National Socialists. And there were a number of them, and they were serious. They were communists, and they were not going to allow it. So, you know, the communists were an extremely aggressive group of people.
So then he wanted to expand Austria, Czechoslovakia, Poland, and that
no.
was his... No?
See, that Germany lost a lot of land with the Versailles Treaty. We have to go to a break, and we'll be right back.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Shocking, terrifying, but very truthful and revealing. Finally, a documentary on the horrifying results of unopposed estrogen. Estrogen dominance. Are we writing our own epitaph? I urge you to go to www.republicbroadcasting.org. Click on the HealthLink America banner and watch the documentary, The Disappearing Male. To my knowledge, this is the first documentary about the threat that unopposed estrogen poses to our survival as a species. It's a real eye-opener. But the documentary gives no solution to the problem. We have the solution. If we don't get the progesterone message to the younger generation, especially the young women, our very survival is in jeopardy. Again, that website is www.republicbroadcasting.org. Click on the HealthLink America banner. After viewing, please visit our website, www.healthlinkamerica.com.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
And we are back. You know, we have a lot of questions. We have a couple of callers left on the line. But we are going to be talking about this in the future. I have a newfound friend, Gerhard, who is going to be joining us next week. Carolyn's coming back. So we hope that we will answer many of the questions that our callers have had in the next few weeks and next month or so. Shall we take Werner? And or is Johnny gone from Illinois? Okay. Werner in New Brunswick, real quick.
Yeah, good afternoon, ladies. You know, you are, both of you, you are like a breath of fresh air.
Thank you.
And I wonder what took the people in North America so long to get a balanced view about the historic events. And but when I came here 41 years ago, I encountered still the old war propaganda from the Second World War. I was very, very well familiar with propaganda because when I grew up over there in Germany, I would listen to the Eastern German, you know, the communist part of Germany, to their propaganda speeches, you know. And when I came here to North America, things hadn't changed much. And most of the people were so ignorant about the events and about the history. But I want to ask one question. What triggered out the Second World War? It was when Hitler went into the western part of Poland.
You know, we're going to talk about that when Gerhard comes on. But okay. that's kind of it's a false flag situation.
Yeah, but so England and France declared war, but they completely ignored that the Soviet Union took the eastern part of Poland.
Right, but we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that in depth.
But as I say, I got another question.
Okay,
in
hurry.
They got the Popot system, you know. There are three different ethnic groups that make up, you know, Switzerland. You know, you got the German, the French, and the Italian part of Switzerland. Mm-hmm. And they got a Popot system, you know. By the way the different ethnic groups are represented in the Swiss Parliament. And I just plain cannot understand how the people here in North America, especially in the United States, can allow a small minority to have such a grab on power.
Well, it's manipulated. We're manipulated into ignoring it, not talking about it. We're not supposed to talk about it, and you know that they use what you call this false history of World War II to enforce that.
And
it's highly enforced.
Who were the accusers? There are lots of big elephants standing in the room, and the one who is without guilt, let him cast the first stone. When we look at the colonial history, you know, of the countries that were supposed to have been defending freedom and justice, and what was and had been going on for centuries in their colonial empires.
Right. Werner, we're out of time. Bless your heart for calling. We're sorry, Ed, we can't take you. We are out of time. Carolyn, thank you so much for being on the program today.
Well, thank you. I enjoyed it very much. I'm sorry we had such a slow start.
Well, that happens sometimes, but you'll be back soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, listeners.